few last Yomim relating to the Yom Tif of Reish Hashanah. Okay, let me turn to the page. Okay, there are 2 days. Okay, this is a very simple thing. There are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which the question is exactly when during the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are we judged? What is the moment of judgment? And the answer to that question is no one knows. No one knows. There are 2 days. We mentioned yesterday the first day is what's called Dina Koshya. It's a harsher judgment. The second day is a Dina Rafia. It's a softer judgment. So there are many different ideas that are expressed. Some say that the Gashmias, a person's Ruchnias, is decided on the first day, and a person's Gashmias is decided on the second day. What's Pnim, what's secret, what's deep down inside, the person, his spiritual future is decided. The first day, the physical future, the person's situation, how his whatever that means, that's on the second day. Others want to suggest that the first day is a judgment for Klal Yisrael, and the second day is a judgment for the Umois Ha'olam. Kol Boy Olam Yavron Lefonecha. On Rosh Hashanah, everyone is judged, Klal Yisrael and the Umos Ha'olam. Some want to say that Tzadikim are judged on the first day, and the second day, everyone else, the Beinonim, are judged. Whatever it means. But there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, the bottom line is that no one should take it easy, slack off after any tefillah, because the person really does not know exactly in Shemayim at which moment in time he is being judged. Okay, next topic. Next topic is Simonim. The minute to eat the night of the first night of Rosh Hashanah, some also the second night, different types of foods in order that they serve as a good omen, a good sign for the coming year. Now, some people are very elaborate simonim, very elaborate customs. We take this very seriously. Okay, we take very seriously the simonim. The simonim of what to eat, what not to eat. So the Gemara only records 5 things. When you'll go around, you'll see people doing all of these bizarre things. There's no such thing. The only thing that really has a source is a Gemara in Masechta Horios, Omer Abaye, Hashta Diamarta Simon and Milzahi, Li Oilum Ye Odom Rog, Lemechse Beresh Shasa. A person should see. Lemechse means to see. Beresh Shasa, Kora, Verubia, Karte, Vesilka, Vitamri. Okay, it lists only 5 things that should be seen. It does not even say in the Gemara. It does not even say in the Gemara to eat these things. It just says that these things should be seen on the night of Rosh Hashanah. What are these 5 things? The truth is, no one really knows exactly what these things are. Tamri simon means dates, but everything else. There are so many perushim as to exactly what these things are. The basic translation is the first thing was kara. What's a kara? Kara is a melon. Okay? It's a melon. What's a ruvia? Ruvia is fenugreek, tiltum. Okay? Then what is karti? Karti is leek, silka, beets, or some want to say it's spinach, or some want to say it's mangold. You don't know what that is? No, whatever. And a car I told you was a car. I told you was it means a gourd. Are these things not ever? It's not so clear among the commentators if we really actually know what these things are. The Ramah then goes on to say, after the Ramah lists the 5 things that it lists in the Gemara. Can everybody say? After the Mechaber lists the 5 things mentioned in the Gemara, the Ramah says it's a minute to dip an apple in the honey. Dip the apple in the honey. So some want to say, they want to say a very, very important yisoid, that this inyan of eating these 5 things was only true in the time of the Gemara, when they knew exactly what these things were. Not only did they know what these things were, it was very common for people to eat these things the entire year round. These items had very great meaning and significance to the average person in the street. So now when it's Rosh Hashanah, Simon and Milsa, you eat these things in order to derive inspiration, in order to remind you, Simon and Milsa. The Ramah is saying, but in our generation, the Ramah lived not that long ago, we don't know what these things are. Forget about deriving inspiration and learning lessons and serving as simonim. It's ridiculous. These things mean nothing to us. We don't even know what they are. And even if you're going to figure out what it is, you're going to put leek and spinach and beets on the table by looking at these things and saying, Yehirasin, are you really going to be inspired? Do we really think it's going to have a, make a difference for us? Therefore, the Ramah says, therefore, in every generation, you have to do the simonim for things which indeed have significance for you. And what has significance? What is it that we can relate to? So I guess in his time, it was to dip the apple in the honey. Apples are very common. Apples were basic staple of life years ago. They still are. Everyone has apple juice today. Apple juice is very popular. And honey was honey. So therefore, something very basic and very simple was dipping the apple in the honey. So the Ramah, by telling us that Bizman has said we dip the apple in the honey, what the Ramah really means to say is it is a replacement for the five items that are mentioned in the Gemara. In the Gemara, this is what they were familiar with. These are things which had meaning to them, but for us, they do not have meaning. And therefore, Bizman HaZeh, what we do is we go and we dip the apple in the honey. It's a novel interpretation, according to the interpretation, literally. He says it over here. He says it on his own, maybe. I think he brings it down from someone. I don't remember. There's too much going on over here. I went this through too quickly. This is what it says here in this sefer, the Sha'arei Hayamim Hanoiroim. Either Rabbi Tezder himself is saying this, or he's quoting from a source that this is what Ramah means to say. It's basically a replacement for what it says in the Gemara. He's coming to say that don't do what it says in the Machaber, because it doesn't have any relevance for us. Just do something which is meaningful for you, to dip the apple in the honey. Obviously, not everyone agrees to that interpretation, because we do find today it's a business. It's probably a $1 million business of selling simonim. You can buy trays, you can order online, you can get different things in all these different stores of all the various simonim, and there's a whole printing press out there with all the various yehirat signs, what to say, different tefillos, and we eat all these things. Some people, it's more chamor to eat these things than to speak lashon hara. Okay, they will not miss one of these things they believe their life depends upon. After you eat all these things, then you sit down and you talk lashon hara for the rest of the meal. So this is it goes a little bit too far. I've seen it go a little bit too far, but obviously people take it very seriously. Now the question is, let me just say a few things. I might cover what you're going to say, so let me just say a few things, and you'll, at the end you'll ask. So the question over here is, what exactly are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to actually eat these things, or are you supposed to look at these things? So this is a machlekes sapoiskim. Some say, it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara you should eat. It says lemechazeh, it should be on the table. You look at it. You look at it and you derive inspiration. And it doesn't say in the Gemara that you should be mispalel. There is no mention whatsoever of saying a yehi ratzon. It just says look at it. When you look at it, it will inspire you. It will be a good sign for you for the coming year. Today, in order to bring out that point, we have invented yehi ratzons, a whole collection of yehi ratzons. You look at this, and whatever this refers to, it should mean, I'm not going to go through the hirotzins because I don't even know what they mean, the different types of fruits and vegetables, whatever they are, they are. Everyone has their minhagim, and the goal is you look at it, you do not necessarily have to eat it, and you recite a prayer. Some people, when they say the prayer, they say Hashem's name, hirotzin, melefenech Hashem elokeinu, velokei avoseinu. Some do not say Hashem's name, some just say hirotzin, that our year, that we have a pomegranate on the table, so our zechuyos should increase like the seeds of a pomegranate. There's fish on the table, so the fish, there are the other things. Besides what it says in the Gemara, we have more things. Fish, we should be a roish, we have a head of a fish, l'roish, the loyal is enough, or a fish, no ayin hara. A fish, there is no ayin hara for a fish, so there should be a sign for us that we should not be subject to an ayin hara. Other opinions, so no, it's not enough just to look at it. You have to actually eat it. And you have to make a bracha. When you go down that path of eating and making a bracha, you're getting into many halachic dilemmas. First of all, when do you make the bracha? Do you make the bracha and eat it before you recite Kiddush? After, obviously, it's not before you say Kiddush, you can't do it. After Kiddush, before you wash HaMoitzi, or after you wash HaMoitzi, before you serve the first course. Now, if you're going to do it before you recite HaMoitzi, then you can argue, then Now, it's not, is it a hafsik? Kiddush b'makom suda? You can argue and say hafsik b'makom kiddush b'makom suda. On the other hand, if you eat it after you recite kiddush, you're getting into the shaila, is the bracha really required? Are these things being served machmas ha-su'uda? If it's part of the meal, then you do not make a bracha. If it's not part of the meal, then it requires a special bracha. Generally, those people who do it, I think most people, they do it after kiddush. Based my perception is that most people will make kiddush, and then they will wash ha-moitzi, and after they wash ha-moitzi, they bring out the simonim, and they make a bracha on each one of these simonim, because they hold that these are foods which are not eaten as being part of the su'udah. It's an appendage. It's something which is not part of the meal. And therefore, according to halacha, you are required to make a separate bracha. And now you have to be careful to make the bracha in the proper order. The proper order usually is, you first make a more limited. You first make a barei pri ha'etz, and then a barei pri ha'adama, and then a shahakol. Because if you're going to make a barei pri ha'adama before you make a barei pri ha'etz, you get into the question, maybe the barei pri ha'adama really exempted the barei pri ha'etz, especially if you have a type of food where there's even a machlekes ha'poskim, so you make a barei pri ha'etz or barei pri ha'adama, and that's sometimes true when you're dealing with these esoteric or very rare types of foods that you eat for the simonim. But in any event, most people, it is their custom, again, to make kiddush, and then to wash, and eat the hamaitzi, and you dip the challah in the honey as well, and then you make a barei pri ha'etz on the apple, you dip the apple in the honey, and then you take the simonim, and you make, if whatever you need to make a bracha on, a barei pri ha'adama, a shahakol, and you recite the Yehi Ratzon. When do you say the Yehi Ratzon? Machlokes HaPoskim. Some say you say the Yehi Ratzon before you make the bracha, and some say you say the Yehi Ratzon after you say the bracha. Okay, and of course it goes without saying that if you're dealing with a food which has a chashash, it might have worms, been infested with worms, then don't eat it. Don't eat it and just say the Yehi Ratzon. You put it on the table. It serves as a good sign. You say the Yehi Ratzon and you're done. This, everyone has their custom. Some Ashkenazim, Sardim, Moroccans, everyone has their own unique minhagim, exactly what to eat, what serves as simonim. Some do different things. They walk around the table, they take things, they bang them over their head, they bang them over their wife's head, they have their children do things. I once ate by I don't even know where they came from, and I never saw my whole life what was going on. They were doing all these very, very bizarre things. And this was their tradition. And they were explaining to me, this is what we do, it's our tradition, what it symbolizes, what it represents. Beautiful. Everyone, to each his own. There are so many minhagim, it's not really possible even to go to the minhagim. Only thing is, either to eat, not to eat, and the question of making the brachas, the order of the brachas, before the hamaitzi, after the hamaitzi, and the Yehi Ratzon is Hashem's name, not Hashem's name. When you say the Yehi Ratzon, before you make the bracha, after you make the bracha, before you eat it, it's not really, is it called a hefsek? Is it not a hefsek between the eating and the bracha? Or do you say the Yehi Ratzon after you eat it? Pasha says you say the Yehi Ratzon before you make the bracha. You say the Yehi Ratzon, you then say the bracha, and then you eat it. Because if you first make the bracha and you eat it, and then say the Yehi Ratzon, it's too late. You're not going to get a bang for your buck. You're not going to get a bang for your buck if you're going to say the Yehi Ratzon after it's already in your stomach. The Yehi Ratzon has more potency, according to these Kabbalistic Svarim, is if you say the Yehi Ratzon, before you make the bracha Rishayna. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
I just know one person. I spoke about the Ramah to modernize it. So this person, the Tom Kochan, he takes the raisin and the celery.
A raisin salary. Okay. The tapuach b'dvashke, you dip the apple in the honey. Okay, so fine. Now, next thing. Now, there is a minig. Does anyone have this minig? You're not supposed to eat grapes on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Did anyone ever hear that? What? Grapes. Did anyone hear of that? No, and just specifically grapes. Not to eat grapes the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Why not? So the reason is given is because Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. And according to one opinion, what did Adam HaRishon eat? Grape. The Eitz Hadas, Geffen grapes. So being that it's the anniversary of the day when Adam, man, ate from the Eitz Hadas, we do not want to remind Hashem of man's first sin. So therefore, do not eat grapes. That's one. Then there are reasons, it says to Al-Pisoid, Al-Pi Kabbalah, I have no idea what it's referring to, but there is such a thing. I never heard of this. I'm not into these type of things, honestly. I really know for these things, but there is such a thing not to eat grapes the first night on Rosh Hashanah because there is some Kabbalistic thing about grapes. Okay, let's go to the next. Everyone knows this, nuts. You're not supposed to eat egoism. An ego is the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because egois is bigimatria, the same numerical value as chait, as sin. Now, what's the joke everyone always says? Don't forget, Rabbi Isai, just like chait is also bigimatria chait. Sin is also the same numerical value as sin. So problem. There's a problem that it's not the same gematria. Egois is bigimatria 18. Egois and chait, and chait is bigamatria 18. Got a problem. So what in the world is going on? How can Chazal minig not to eat an egois? Because an egois is bigamatria chait. It's not true. Egois is 17 and chait is 18. Ches tes aleph. So what's going on over here? So the simple answer is you're allowed to be off by one. And especially, don't be so medactic. And there's a lot of mussar in this. On Rosh Hashanah, you're saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't be so medactic. Don't go make too many calculations. It's not necessary. Yeah? Pretty scary. I never saw something like this.
You've got a nice rhythm. Look at
that. Okay. Okay, so
every...
It's
closing box,
Okay, so hey, don't be so medactic. We want to make a gematria that's not correct. Bedafka, don't be so medactic. You're allowed to be off by one, by the way. That's a whole sug in itself. V'nashantem v'aretz, Ephraim, Menashe, Keruvein, V'shimon, Yehiyu, the many
matches. The gematria plus the, what do you
call it? The koilel. With the koilel, you're in a lot of trouble, right? With the koilel, you're in trouble. You have to do tshuva for all the chatom done in the koilel. The koilel. With the koilel, so this is the question. Okay, that's a simple answer. However, there's a much simpler answer. Really, even simpler it's true. The word chet is bigamatria 18, but there's one place in Chamishe Chumshe Torah where chet is spelled without the letter aleph. There is one chet. What is that one chet? Avodah Zarah. In the psugya of a person, individual who does avodah zarah b'shogeg, or the tzibur. In fact, when the tzibur does avoid the Zara by accident due to the Psak of Bezdin, they have to bring a special carbon, a Sawyer Seire Avoidas Chichavim, and there Chet is spelled without the letter Aleph. Ches and Tes, which is exactly in the Gematria 17. Therefore, what exactly are we trying to allude to? What is Avoidas Zara? What is the theme of Rosh Hashanah? Malchus. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What is Echad? Echad is Hashem, is only Hashem. What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is there's more than one God. There's another God. So what we're trying not to allude to is not that we spoke Lashon Hara, not that we Shmir Seinayim or this or that, all the various types of Averos. That's not what we're trying to allude to by not eating egoism. What we're trying to allude to by not eating egoism is the chait of Avodah Zarah. Because the chait of Avodah Zarah is a direct contradiction to the theme of the day of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the only place in the Torah where Chet is spelled Ches Tes without the letter Aleph. Okay, so we don't eat nuts. Now that's one reason. Gemach is another reason why it says we do not eat nuts, and that's because nuts cause phlegm. That's what it says. Nuts cause a person to have phlegm, and therefore the next day during Rosh Hashanah, you need to make sure your voice is optimal. You have the koyach atfil, you'll be able to daven with kavana. There'll be nothing holding you back, no impediments in your throat and in your ability to daven to Hashem. And if you have phlegm and other impediments, it's going to be mafriya. So don't eat things which are going to prevent you from davening to Hashem in a proper way. And then there's a third reason, that's al pi Kabbalah, which we do not know what that means. That is a beautiful drush. Another reason why we eat nuts is a very nice idea. I really like this idea, why we do not eat nuts. And that's because Zecher li Yitzias Mitzrayim. What do I mean, Zecher li Yitzias Mitzrayim? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch on the night of Pesach, the first night of Pesach? What do you do in the first night of Pesach by the Seder? What's the first thing it says in the Ramah you do in the night of the Seder? Mechalkin egoizim l'tinoigos. You're supposed to distribute treats to the children. What are the treats you distribute to the children? You give them nuts. You give them nuts. Now, where did you get those nuts? The night of Pesach, this is the var from the Sar Shalom Shelbels. Where did you get those nuts? Well, you went to pomegranate, Erev Pesach, and you went to the nut section, and you bought nuts, walnuts, almonds, cashews, and all these things, and you bought them, you put them away for the kids? Is that what you did? You went Erev Pesach, or the week before Pesach, you put it in an order in your local, in Glatmart, or Moshe's, or in Mountain Fruit, or in pomegranate, wherever you'd shop, you bought nuts and you put it away. Is that where you got the nuts from? No. You know what you're doing? Erev Rosh Hashanah, O-nuts. O-nuts is close to Pesach, because it's all chametz. No? It's over Pesach?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay? Sorry, but... Come on. So is that what you do? What? Do you are? And of course you have nothing else to eat. Of course, there's nothing else to eat at Pesach. Of course you are eating nuts. It says, again, it says in Shulchan Aruch, listen, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Hilchas Pesach, the night of the Seder, you're supposed to distribute nuts to children. You give nuts to children on Pesach. Why? The children should ask. So the question is, where did you get those nuts? Did you get those nuts to distribute to the children the night of Pesach? Where did you get them from? You bought them in the store, Erev Pesach, or the week before Pesach, you put it in your order. Where'd you get them from? The answer is, you're supposed to buy them Erev Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to buy the nuts that you're going to give the Kindlach by the Lil Seder Sunday, this coming Sunday, Erev Rosh Hashanah. You go to O Nuts, make sure the kosher Pesach. Make sure when you go on Sunday to your store to buy the nuts, make sure it says kosher l'Pesach, and have them ready. And you come then to the Suda, you come back from Shul, and you put the nuts on the table. And you say to your family and the children, we don't eat these nuts. I have here delicious nuts, but it's Rosh Hashanah, we don't eat them. Do not eat these nuts. Do not eat these nuts. You put them on, okay, can't eat it. So what do? When the meal is over, you put it away. You keep it in storage, and in Yiritzah Hashem, Pesach, Habo'olein L'Toiva, in 6 months from now, 7 months, Ibiyar this year, you take those nuts that you put on the table and you told your children, don't you dare eat them, you take them back to the table, now you can have. What's the pshat? So the one pshat is because egoiz is begematria chet. When a person does tshuva meyira, the zedoinois the chatoim nase kishkogois. When you do tshuva me'ahava, the zedoinois, your sins, your chatoim become merits. On Rosh Hashanah, we do tshuva meyira. So it's true we have chatoim, but the chaton, they turn into inadvertent sins. Shkogai. So therefore, you can't eat it. Shkogai, you can't eat it. It's still an avera. But Nisan, Chodesh Nisan, the Zedoinais, they turn into Zechuyos, into merits. So now, merit. Oh, a merit is something very good, and you can eat it. That's one mahalach. But there's even a deeper mahalach. The deeper mahalach is, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, what do we say in the Nusach HaTfilah, the whole Rantif? Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim. The Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim of Rosh Hashanah is the most difficult Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim from all of the Moadim. We say Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach. That's easy, right? That's simple, right? Pesach, Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim. We say Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim on Shavuos. Why? Because the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Bav Ta'avdunes Elokim Alohar Azeh. Moshe Rabbeinu told Klai Yisrael, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to serve Hashem on this mountain. We say Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim on Sukkos because when we left Egypt, we went out of Egypt in tents, in huts, in Sukkos. Okay, we can say Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim on Yom HaKippurim because on Yom HaKippurim we got the Luchos. We got the Torah. The first attempt was on Shavuos. It did not end well. Did not end well because of the Chet HaEgel. It was destroyed, the Luchos Rishonis. But when did we ultimately get the Torah? On Yom HaKippurim. So Takat Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was about Ta'avdunis Lukim Alohar HaZeh. And when did we get the final Luchos, which remains with us at Hayom HaZeh? That was on Yom HaKippurim. But what in the world is there a Zecher liyitzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Hashanah? What does Rosh Hashanah have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? This is a very, very difficult question to which there really is no good answer. The question is always better than the answer. Among the answers given is that Yosef HaTzadik was released from prison on Rosh Hashanah. The whole story of Yosef's ascent to his Malchus in Mitzrayim, which was ultimately to our benefit, and then the whole story of the Exodus took place on Rosh Hashanah. There's a Mesorah that the Avodas Perach, the Shibud, that we worked for Paro for 86 years, it came to an end on Rosh Hashanah. From Rosh Hashanah until Pesach, there was a delay. There was a delay, and the Makos, the 10 Makos, took place between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach. The end of the Shibud took place on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, there are a lot of beautiful answers. Maybe we have time, maybe we'll talk about it a little later on. There are other answers, we'll see. But one answer which is appealing to me, I like this answer. I don't know if it resonates with me. I don't think it resonates with everyone. Is there's something very unique about Rosh Hashanah, and that is, you know, we think of Malchus, when you have a king, you have a king, it's a dictatorship. You don't have a choice. Mitzad Echad, the fact that we acknowledge Hashem is the Melech. Rosh Hashanah is all about declaring Hashem the Melech. Adam HaRishon was created, and Adam HaRishon, he comes to recognize Hashem, it's your world. You would argue, the average person would argue, there is no greater dictatorship. There is no greater, how do you say the word, a totalitarian, is that the correct word? Totalitarian, whatever the word is. Total, I used to know this. There is no complete Malchus like the Malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam, much more so than any Malchus, any dictatorship, any government in the world history, because Hashem is everything. But the truth is, this is what's very interesting, is Mitzad Echad, it's indeed, Hashem's Malchus is the ultimate dictatorship, but Mitzad Sheni, Hashem's Malchus is the ultimate democracy. It's Ein Melech Beloya. There is a thing called Hashem is a Melech without us, but Mitzad Sheni, we're free people. What is America? The godless of democracy is freedom. It's all about freedom. Freedom Tower. Freedom of speech. Freedom of religion. It's all about, you're a free, we live in a society, Western culture, freedom. Every man is a free man. You can do in this world whatever you want as long as you don't harm someone else. Now, we need a government. We need someone, we need an authority to control what happens in this world. Okay, so we have what's called democracy, where we come together and we elect officials to represent us for short periods of time. For short periods of time, they should not get carried away with themselves. They're limited, extremely limited in how long they're in office and what they can do. They're also subject to rules and regulations. They're not above the law. They're limited. Now, a dictator is not limited. A dictator doesn't. You don't tell the dictator what to do. He tells you what to do. There's no limitation whatsoever. So you would think, on a very superficial level, that when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a dictatorship. There's no. We're not free people. But the truth is, that's not the way it is. Hashem wants us to be free. Hashem gave us the Torah, and it says, "Beferish in Chazal, chorus al haluchos, al tikri chorus el cheirus." To giving us the Torah, we are free people. Ein lecha ben chorin el mi she'oseik b'Torah. A person who involves himself in the study of Torah is the ultimate free person. He is unreleased from the shackles of the Eitz Sahara. He is free. And he on his own is given bechira to declare, to make Hashem the melech. You live in a society of a dictatorship. You're born into a dictatorship. No one ever asks you to decide, do you like the king? Oh yeah, I like the king. If you don't like the king, he'll kill you. Okay, you have these societies, you see, you read in the news every so often where they have elections. Okay, the elections in North Korea. Okay, it's a joke. Okay, elections in Saddam was elected as the president of Iraq. Really, he was elected. They have an election to elect. The people have to come and they have to cast ballots if they want Saddam Hussein to be their leader. Yeah, if you don't put the ballots, there's only one choice in the ballot. By the way, it's only one choice. And if you don't show up to do it, then you won't wake up tomorrow. So what kind of? It's a joke. It's no such thing. You're born into a situation where this is your leader, whether you like it or not. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, on Rosh Hashanah, he says, you know something? If you don't want me to be your melech, that's okay. I'm giving you freedom. I'm asking you to recognize, to understand that it's in your best interest. You have free will, and you are a free person, yet you will declare Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch li'olam vo'ed. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Cheirus. Cheirus in Klal Yisrael came into existence at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We were Avodim. Avodim hayinu lefaroi b'Mitzrayim. Vayotzienu Hashem misham b'yot chazaka. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the creation of Cheirus in Klal Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate day of where it's possibly in this interpretation from all of the Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayims. Rosh Hashanah is the greatest emphasis of Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's the most relevant. So we're free people. Big deal. What are you going to do with your freedom? What are you going to do with your freedom? We left Mitzrayim. So what did we do with the freedom? We wandered around in the desert for 40 years. That's what a free person does. You wander around the desert for 40 years in booths, in sukkahs. We got the Torah. We didn't appreciate the Torah. We worship the eagle. Do we even today appreciate the Torah? We're free people. Zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. What happened when we released from Mitzrayim? We went from Avodim to B'nai Chorin. Rosh Hashanah, the essence of Rosh Hashanah is not an acknowledgement that there is a dictator in charge. Rosh Hashanah, we acknowledge there's a dictator in charge. That's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. On Rosh Hashanah, we're Mamlech Hashem as Melech. We recognize we're free people, and despite being a free person, we take the opportunity as being a ben chorin to declare Hashem is the melech. To give Hashem the crown of malchus demands that we be free. Because if we're not free people, we're slaves, it's lip service. It's a joke. Yeah, Hashem Yud Melech. We have a choice. Do we really have a choice? We don't have a choice. Hashem is Melech because Hashem is Melech. It's like you're living in Iraq in the time of Saddam Hussein. You wake up in the morning. I have a choice. That's the way it is. If I don't follow party line, I'm dead. So you don't need a Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah would be a joke. Rosh Hashanah is only Rosh Hashanah because Hashem says to a human being, man, I'm giving you free will. If you don't want me to be your melech, I won't be your melech. You do whatever you want in this world. Do whatever you want. On Rosh Hashanah, it's only because we're free people does it have meaning to declare Hashem as being melech. For it to have meaning, we must be a free person. How are we a free person? Because we have chayrus. When did we become free people? Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it is essential. Rosh Hashanah is built upon the foundation of Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, this that we are free people. Therefore, what do we do on Rosh Hashanah to show this? You don't eat nuts. You know why you don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah? Because you will eat the nuts on Pesach. Mechalkim, forget about chet. Forget about, I told you one of our from the Sar Shom Shal Bells, because chet is ovoin. And zoyno is nasek is zuchuyos. And therefore there's nasek is kishkogos, nasek is zuchuyos. And we make a differentiation between the shkogos and zuchuyos. Forget about that. You know why on Pesach you give children nuts? In the ancient today, they don't appreciate nuts, because today you go into any store, the walls, the shelves are lined with things that you never can even imagine exist in this world. All the different treats. What? Okay, the delicacies, all the different treats that they have today is beyond imagination. But in ancient times, the delicacies, the treats that you give a child is nuts. You want to get the process started on Rosh Hashanah, Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. Get those nuts ready. Because if all of the Jewish holidays, the one that is built upon the strongest foundation of Pesach is Rosh Hashanah. Declaring Hashem as Melech would have absolutely zero meaning if we're not B'nai Chayrin. We're just slaves. We're slaves. We don't have a choice in this world. So, big deal. Hashem is the Melech. It doesn't mean anything. No. You're a free person. Yitzias Mitzrayim. With that foundation, now when you will decide that Hashem is the Melech, you are accomplishing incredible things. You're building worlds. It's an incredible day. It's Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. When you come to your Seudah, when do we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Seder. The Seder is the most sacred meal in the whole year. And what's the first thing you do at the Seder? You want to make sure the children stay awake. Mechalkim egoizim letinoikos. You want to give them some nuts. So get the nuts ready on Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is the day where we need Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. Get those nuts ready today. Put it on the table. Don't eat it now. It's the Pesach. Because that's when the children need to stay awake. We want Taka, the children to go to sleep right away. Lo Rosh Hashanah. They should get up early in the morning and daven. We want you to go to sleep. We don't want you to stay awake. But get the nuts ready. Why? Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go straight till 12 o'clock. Okay, we'll finish up. Let's go one shot. We'll finish up. Zechelitzit. That's why we eat nuts. Okay, what else do we not do? Okay, so we don't. Okay, so we discussed not eating nuts. We discussed grapes. Okay, other things. Okay, things which are bitter. These sour. These are various mahogany. The question is now. What about the second night? What about you do the simonim the second night? Different minhagim. I think most people do it less. Maybe they do it a little bit. They'll dip the apple in the honey and they say yirat sign. No question. Many do nothing. They do absolutely zero the second night. There are people have the minute they do all the simonim, they start on the simonim, whatever it is, toned down. The second night of Rosh Hashanah, the simanim b'derech klal is toned down relative to the first night. Now, what do you uniquely on the second night of Rosh Hashanah? A shehechianu. You have on the table a new fruit. A new fruit. Why? Because we recite a shehechianu on the kiddush on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. We recite the questions of bracha levatala. Because we recite the shehechianu the night before. And indeed, by the Sfardim, they do not recite the Shachianu. They do not recite the Shachianu not at night, and they do not recite the Shachianu when you blow Shofar the next day either. Meaning Ashkenaz, Ramah says we recite Shachianu the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and we recite Shachianu when we blow the Shofar the next day. So in order that it should not be a bracha levatala, because really, because maybe it's Yoyma Arichta, really you could argue that it's one long day. There's no Sfeika Diyoyma anymore. We know where the calendar is. So why are we setting a Shachar on the second night? So not this, that should not be Bracha Levatala. We have on the table a new food that we have not eaten this year, this season at least. And then when you recite Kiddush, the Kiddush, the Shachar that you say on the Kiddush, you should have in mind, it should go for the new fruit. And then you eat the fruit immediately after you. Well, the different minhagim, getting back into the various minhagim. Some will eat the fruit immediately after you make kiddush, and some will eat the fruit after you eat the hamoitzi. After you slice the hamoitzi, then you make a boirei pri ha'etz, because the fruit is not part of the meal, so it's not included in the hamoitzi lechem in aretz. So you have to make a new bracha. A new bracha on the fruit, just a borei pri'eitz, and the shechayana you made for kiddush is chal, just in case it was a bracha levatala, because we consider the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah one long day, or we consider Rosh Hashanah, or we know the calendar, how it's arranged, so it's not really Rosh Hashanah, there's really no need to make a shechayana, so the shechayana will be chal upon the new fruit. What about the shechayana? We discussed this and we learned a couple of weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, what about when the Baal Tokeh, the next day, he makes a Shechianu on the Shofar? So in the Chanami, if the Baal Tokeh can, he should wear a new suit. He should wear, if he can, wear a new suit. And then when he says the Shechianu on the Shofar, the Shechianu will be chal upon his new suit that he's wearing when he blows the Shofar, if he can do so. That is the minhag. Okay, that is the minhag. Okay, let's now go to the next topic. The next topic is... why do we not recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? Why not? It's Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh we recite Chatzi Hallel. So just because it's Rosh Hashanah, why are we not allowed? Why don't we recite Chatzi Hallel? It's Rosh Chodesh. It's a Yom Tov, and especially it's Yom Tov Mamish. Even though you'll tell me it's Yom Hadin, so what? Just because it's Yom Hadin, the pasuk says in Nechemiah. There's a pasuk that says Chedvas Hashem hi mo'uschem, the joy of Hashem is your might. Nechemiah told the people, it's today is Rosh Hashanah, you should send your friends Mishloach Monos. It's talking an inyan. There's an inyan of sending Mishloach Monos. There's an inyan to send on Rosh Hashanah Mishloach Monos. Mishloach Monos on Purim, and there's also a mitzvah Mishloach Monos on Rosh Hashanah. We don't really do it, but if you do it, you can mekayim maimer pasuk in Nechemiah. And it says explicitly that you should rejoice. Chedvas Hashem hi mo'uschem. So if it's a day of Yom Tov, it's a day that we are confident that we will prevail on the Yom Hadin, we will succeed on the Yom Hadin, so why can't we recite, why can't we do what we do in every Rosh Chodesh and recite Chatzi Hallel? So here is a very good answer. This answer really speaks volumes. And the answer is, let's go to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, Klalis shall recite it Hallel. They came out of the Yam and they saw the enemies dead, and they recited Hallel. So we said Hallel. Why? Because we saw in our front of our eyes the people who have tormented us, who have tortured us, who took our children, threw them into the wall, into the Nile, and made them into bricks. We saw them dead on the river bank, on the bank of the Yam. And what did we do in response? Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Es Ashir Azos Lashem Vayim Ulemar Ashir Lashem Ki Go'o Go'o. What about the Malachim? Did they recite Shira? No. Why not? The Malachim wanted to recite. Why not? Because Masse yodai tovu bayom viatem oimim shira. My creatures are dying and you're going to say shira? So the question is, why are the Jews allowed to say shira and why are the malachim not allowed to say shira? And the answer is very simple. Because the Mitzrim were the enemies of the Jews. The Mitzrim were not the enemies of the malachim. It's none of their business. The malachim are in Shemayim. The Mitzrim are in this world. They're going about their business. The malachim and the angels and the Egyptians have nothing to do one with another. And therefore, if you witness human beings who are not your enemies die, it's none of your business to rejoice that they committed a crime against someone else. It's not your fight. From your perspective, you're witnessing creatures suffer. When you witness a creature in this world suffer, and they have done you no harm, it's none of your business to sing Shira. Okay, maybe they're guilty, they're evil. Okay, so they're evil, so they deserve what they got. But for you to go so far and sing Shira to witness the suffering of another creature in this world, that's not Derech Eretz. If they're your enemy, they tortured you, then you have a right to sing Shira because we suffer because of these people. So now let's go back to Rosh Hashanah, and it's very, very important to appreciate this idea. Rosh Hashanah for every single person is a Yom Tov. Why? Because we have confidence that through our tefillos, through our teshuva, Hashem will hear our prayers, and we will prevail. We will prevail. Okay, we will prevail, and we will prevail. We will succeed. We will prevail and we will succeed and we will be victorious in the Yom Hadin. So we have an obligation to have joy on Yom Tov. But we have to realize Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin for the entire world. Kol boye oilam yavron lefanech. And we have to realize not everyone in this world will prevail, will succeed. There are people on this day are going to die. There are people on this day, mi vo'esh, mi v'mayim, mi v'kitza, mi lo v'kitza, mi v'rash. It's not a happy day for the world. Because there are going to be on this day, on Rosh Hashanah, there's a gezerah is being handed down, kachi darka shel olam, that people are going to die. People are going to suffer. People are going to get sick. People are going to have a lot of tzaras. That's the way the world is. We have confidence that it's not going to happen to us. We have to have confidence that it's not going to happen to us because of our koyach ha-tzvila and the koyach of tshuva and the koyach of ma'isim toivim. But the world is in a matzav of judgment and there are people that are going to suffer. And the people that are going to suffer are not our enemies. Not every living creature on this world is our enemy. We have enemies out there. We all know about them. But not everyone is our enemy. Not everyone is trying to kill us. Not everyone is trying to bring an end to our existence. Therefore, we don't rejoice. It's not derech eretz. Ma'ase yodai tovu bayam v'atem oimim shira. We have an obligation to have simcha. It's a yom tov. Ched v'as Hashem hi me'uschem. We have confidence that we will prevail. But we have to understand that not everyone will prevail. And the people that are not everyone, they're not necessarily our enemies. If they're not our enemies. Therefore, it's not derech eretz to say hallel on Rosh Hashanah. Not that because, I think that unfortunately the common answer people give, they make a mistake, they think, oh, it's because Sifrei Chaim, it's a Chazal also, so I'm not saying that's wrong, but Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim, Suchim, Yatem, Oyim Shira? Well, the answer is yeah, because we are obligated to have confidence that just because the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim of Suchim, we're going to survive, we're going to prevail. We have tools to survive.
But not everybody is going to survive.
What?
Even amongst our realm.
No, we're not allowed to look at it like that. We have an obligation. Anyone who's a shomer, Anyone who's a shul, no, you have to have, so you daven for them. The people in Klal Yisrael who on their own are not going to daven, you daven for them. You daven for them. You're a shomer Torah mitzvah, Hashem gave you the tools, that's right. The Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meis, Mapsuchim, and that's right. Daven. And you daven, you will prevail. You will succeed, and you will succeed for everyone. Not for you. For the Umos HaOlam, or whatever it means, people that are not Shaykh, maybe amongst Jews also, whatever it means, people who are outside of your Machaneh, their Sifrei Chaim and their Sifrei Meisim are also opened, and not everyone's going to survive. And if they're not everyone's going to survive, it's just, and they're not our enemies. If they were enemies, oh, good for them. Adarabba, we sang Shuvah by the Kriyas HaYamsuf. Therefore, it's just not Derech Eretz for us to sing Shira when other people are suffering. It opens up a whole perspective of the Derech Eretz in the Nusach HaTzvila. Okay, let's just finish another part. Let me just show you something very curious. Okay, I may wind down with this. I don't have a good answer. I tried to spend some time to understand this a little bit, but I didn't really get a good grasp on this. But I took note that the number 30 is a very, very prominent number on Rosh Hashanah. How many tekiyos do we blow to the Mekayim, the Mitzvah Deraisa, of all the Sekas on Rosh Hashanah? 30. 30 kailos, all you have to really hear. It's really 9, 9, and 12. Right? That includes the Tzkiyah, that includes the Shvarim, the Truah, and the Shvarim Truah. How old, ideally, should the Balei Tefillah be? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? 30 years old. How many psukim do we recite in total to bring out the theme of Malchiyos, Zichroinos, and Shofars? 30. How many days do we blow Shofar for in total? Exactly 30. We skip Erev Rosh Hashanah, of a month of 30 days, and we start with Chodesh. But we blow for a Chodesh, which culminates the last day that we blow is Rosh Hashanah. We blow Shofar, it leads up, the climax of blowing Shofar in Chodesh Elul. We blow Shofar over a span of time of 30 days. Okay, you don't, Shabbos you don't blow, right? But over a span of 30 days. Tiku b'chodesh Shofar. Okay, b'chodesh, b'chodesh also means in the whole month. You blow Shofar for 30 days. What Rosh Hashanah is the only holiday that coincides with Rosh Chodesh. As if to say it's the holiday of a Chodesh. It's not the middle of the month, it's the beginning of the month. Because what is a Chodesh? A Chodesh is 30 days. The whole holiday is rooted in the essence of a Chodesh, and a Chodesh is 30 days. Okay, what other 30s are there? Now let me give you another interesting example. What are we grappling with on Rosh Hashanah? We're grappling with Mi Yichye Mi Yamos. Shammai and Hillel argued, is it really kedai for a person to be born? Is it really kedai to live? How long did they argue about this question for? Anyone remember the Gemara? How long did Shammai and Hillel debate the issue? It's fair Shul Gemara. For 2.5 years. Remember the Gemara? Everyone remember the Gemara? For 2.5 years,
30 months.
Shammai and Hillel exactly argued, is it kedai to be born in this world? And the Maskan Nimnu Vigamru, better not. It will be better for man not to have ever come into this world. The nesyonos are too great. In all likelihood, the chances are the person is not going to succeed and will end up worse than if he would not have been born. But now that we're born, it's too late. You know, it's too late. That decision was made. Yifash veish b'masav. Why did they debate for 2.5 years? Why not 2 years? Why not 3 years? What?
You're not going to say
30
months.
30 months. 30 months. 30 months. He just said it. 30 months. What? It was what? Ibiyar. Ibiyar. 30 months. Obviously, there's something about the number 30. Rosh Hashanah was the day when also Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yosef went out. Yosef went out of jail, and he became melech. He became Yosef to become melech over in the Mishnah Lemelech. How old was he? Says in the pasuk. The pasuk emphasizes it took on his position of authority, malchus, Mishnah Lemelech, 30 years old. Okay, everything is about 30. My high. What is, whoever you turn on Rosh Hashanah, HaKol Hoylech El Mokoyim Echad, the number 30. I think I have a good answer, right? After this big build-up, right? So guess what? I don't have an answer. I don't. I went online, and it's true in mathematics. I don't understand this. I don't understand this, but I went online, and it does appear that the number 30, you have to go do this yourself. I don't know this. In Wikipedia, they have a very interesting entry on the number 30, and it seems that in the world of math, in the world of the Eliyahu people, the Einsteins out there who deal with numbers, the number 30 is a very intriguing number. It represents a lot of principles in mathematics perfect themselves. I don't understand. There's a lot of very interesting things. It's the largest of certain concepts. It's the smallest. It's a certain perfection. I don't know. I really don't know. I told you, I don't know. I was grappling with this idea. It really bothers me. What is this thing of the number 30? There's something very unique about the number 30 which reappears over and over again on Rosh Hashanah. Everything revolves around this number. And we have yet to uncover the depth. Last Yisrael, before we wind down, we spend a lot of time discussing the significance of 100 koilos. And we said it's connected the 100 koilos of the mother of Sisera. She cried, "Where is my child?" Sarah cried. How many? I told you this is the old one. Sarah cried. How many koilos? 6. It says she cried 6, and that's why we blow sets of 6. We go tekiah. Every. I forgot the draw how it works out. There's always the number. She cried 6 koilos. So we discussed. Sarah cried 6, and she died. The mother of Sisera cried 100 koilos, and she still was alive. Life went on. We're coming to contrast the difference between the mother of Sisera, the non-Jews in Klal Yisrael. It's a day of Yom HaDin for them and for us. We take life very seriously. When Sarah heard that Yitzhak did not go through with the Akedah, it bothered her so much. After 6 koilos, she died. Whereas the mother of Sisera, her son didn't come back alive. She cried 100 koilos, but guess what? She remained alive. The Agmas Nevesh was not so significant that it caused her to die. That was an old vart. But there's another very important, you said, there's another medrash that says why we blow 100 koilos is because it says in Chazal, when a woman goes into labor and she sits on the birthing stool, she cries 99 times. Okay, in ancient times, labor was very precise. The body worked like a fine-tuned Swiss watch. That's the way it was. When a woman conceived, she knew exactly to the second when she would give birth. At kedekach, a man and woman, husband and wife, would not have relations, marital relations, if they recognized that if we have marital relations now and the wife conceives, the baby will be born on Shabbos. They already calculated exactly 9 months ahead. The baby will be born on Shabbos, and the bris milah will be born on Shabbos. Why be mechallel Shabbos? This is what why be mechallel Shabbos? So therefore, that ad kedei kach. That's how fine tuned the human body worked in ancient times. Labor was a precise science. There were exactly, I think it says, 70 labor pains. A woman went into labor. So how many pains? Exactly, you can count, right? Instead of, you know, exactly, this is number 1, number 2, number 3. And when you get to 70, the baby is born. How many expressions of tsar would a woman experience, pains, muscle pains, in the process of giving birth? 99. 99 bidiyuk. Again, fine-tuned Swiss watch. And what happened when the last pain, the last muscle pain, that's when the baby popped out. 100. So therefore, that's why we blow, the Medrash says this, that is why we blow exactly 100 koilos. Because 99 are tsar, and the 100th kol is l'chaim. New life. A new human being. A new child comes to this world that represents new life. For us, we have a tsar over the past, our past averos, and now the 100th kor, the tekiah gedoyla, represents l'chaim, a new lease on life for the coming year. And what is the significance of this? Rosh Hashanah is exactly 50 days after Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we count Sfira. We count Sfira on Tisha B'Av. Like Tisha B'Av begins, and we have the Shiva de Nechemta. There are 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49. It's exactly 50 days since Tisha B'Av. What is the last thing that we say on Tisha B'Av? The last kina, not really the last kina, second last kina, Elit Siyon V'Areha, Kimoy Isha V'Tzireha, a woman in labor. The labor begins on Tisha B'Av. That's when it begins. And the labor goes on from Shiva D'Nechemta. It goes on for 7 weeks. We continue to focus on the Churban until Rosh Hashanah. This Shabbos is the last of the Shiva D'Nechemta. And it's over. When is it over? With Rosh Hashanah. Why is Rosh Hashanah the end of Tisha B'Av? It's because it's the Geula. V'haya b'yoyim ahu yitoka b'shoifer gadol v'oivdim b'yaretz Asher v'nechem b'yaretz Asher v'nishtachlus v'mahar kodesh. Tisha B'Av was the Churban. But it's the beginning, it's the conception. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. It's the conception. The conception of Mashiach. And in fact, not just the conception. It's the moment when Klal Yisrael Knesses Yisrael goes into labor. And labor, there are 100 koilos. 99. The 99 has occurred during the 7 weeks Shiva D'Nechemta. Rosh Hashanah is the 100th koil. And that 100th koil is the Geula. Is the Geula, the Leda, when the child comes forth. It's the Kiyah Shofar, which Rav Sadia Gaon says, one of the 10 reasons why we blow Shofar is, it's the Shofar Shel Mashiach. The Churban happened on Tisha B'Av. The process in rebuilding immediately begins, which culminates, Elitzion V'yokimo Isha V'tzireha. Rosh Hashanah is the 100th koil of the Leda of the Geula. Okay, Nirshem, tomorrow we'll continue. We'll finish up tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll share. For Rosh Hashanah, we'll learn Chumash, we'll learn some, we'll learn whatever, we'll learn Navi, we'll do Yoel, and we'll see tomorrow exactly what we'll do.